different kinds of media since the 80s or 70s, 80s, 90s. It's the idea that a story is built and centered around either white people or all men or all straight people. And then there's one character who doesn't fit the mold, who acts as a prop almost to help facilitate the journey of the protagonist. Okay. So it's the Karate Kid. Right, where Mr. Miyagi comes in to save the day.
Yeah.
Or The Legend of Bagger Vance, where Will Smith comes back as a ghost to show Matt Damon how to golf. So
such a weird thing when you say it out loud like that. Yeah.
It's so pervasive in our media, and it's something that we don't really pay attention to unless you are part of one of those marginalized communities. And then you think, oh gosh, like, this is not representative of me or my experience at all. And so this play is really kind of lampooning that concept.
Okay. Well, so Charlie, when you first read the script for DQM, what immediately hooked you to this? What is Letta's personality, the Groundhog Day-esque structure, or something more personal about the character's voice?
Yeah. Immediately, as an actor, myself, and a drag queen, I immediately connected with Letta's journey, finding her own voice, and as Ian said, finding a place that is more than just a tokenization of who this person is. And I think Letta's journey really closely parallels my own of trying to find my place in the arts, have a career, and be respected and seen not just as a token, but as part of the story that isn't fetishized, if you will. And then language-wise, it's hysterically funny. And from the first couple of pages, I was absolutely cracking up. And, you know, and you get a few more pages in, and it's a very moving, deeply human story that I think a lot of people will be very moved by.
All right. Well, for both of you, the story follows Letta Celebrate, a drag queen caught in a surreal loop while trying to help a stranger. What makes this story uniquely now, and how do you think it resonates in today's culture?
I think now we are, as a society, having these conversations with the rise of social media and visibility of these communities. Now these conversations are being had on a wider scale, and these questions are being asked of said people.
I think with a lot of the anti-trans and anti-drag legislation that's been happening all over the country, one of the things that is really important is for us to really think about drag performers, trans people, queer people in general, not as a statistic, not as an other, but really get to know the human.
As people, as common sense should tell you, to know them as people.
Who is a member of that group. And we're all individual, and we're all unique, and we're all different. Yeah. And this play really taps into that desire. The assumptions that the main character has about Letta are broken down throughout the play in a way that I hope we all can kind of look within ourselves and at communities that we are not members of, and start to think about who these people are as individuals, as humans who want basic human decency and rights.
Absolutely. Well, you've had a full development week here in Durango, or at least you're starting, not a full week yet, but
We're on day four.
Day four so far. These things happen quick here, but so far, how has Charlie's performance or even just the energy in the room reshaped or refined the play for you as a writer?
No pressure.
Charlie gasped, like the biggest gasp you would ever see if you were in the room right now with that question. That is hilarious. Charlie is bringing a warmth and a generosity of spirit to Letta that is really beautiful to see. You know, plays can be interpreted in lots of different ways, and every actor that kind of approaches a role approaches it with their own spin and their own take and their own what they bring to the world, they bring to the character. So being able to see let out through Charlie's eyes has been really lovely. And it makes me much more fond of of this character that I wrote. His performance really humanizes her in the way that is beautiful to see, and also, you know, part of the joy of being a playwright, being able to see what he brings.
All right.
Thank you, Ian.
I'm very nice on the radio.
Only here.
No, in rehearsal, I'm horrible.
Well, Charlie, Let Us Celebrate isn't just a character. She's a full persona with sparkle, power, and emotional depth. How do you, as a non-binary performer, bring that complexity to the role while honoring both the camp and the heart of drag performance?
I think...
That's a fantastic question.
It really is.
But it's your question.
So we can tag team.
No, I'm going to just stop and listen.
Yeah. I think it comes down to that first bit of that is she's a full human being. And yes, she's a performing artist, and that is her livelihood. But we look at this as we look at Letta like she's a full person and not just a product of her livelihood. And I think my first instinct reading it was having to very delicately walk the line of serving this story, serving some of her journey, her frustrations, her realizations, and treating it kind of with delicacy, making sure that this person who goes on a very challenging journey is still likable by this audience and by these characters, and not being as snarky or sharp, as sarcastic as one could take it. I want to make sure that we still are on Letta's side. And so there's a line to walk of not being so sassy that it's polarizing.
Our director, Graham Smith, and I are really pushing Charlie to be meaner and more horrible, both in the script and also as a person in life.
Okay. Slave drivers.
It's definitely become a task for us to attempt to make Charlie a more horrible, miserable person by the end of this week.
It's going well.
For both of you, the play is premiering during Pride Week here in Durango, which Woo-hoo! We talked a little bit about off the air. Does that hold special meaning for you to have this show be going on during Pride Week here in town for the very first time?
Yeah. The exciting part is that there are so many Pride events happening here this week, and we have been able to step away from our intense rehearsal processes to be able to experience some of that. So it was amazing seeing all of the flags and balloons up at Lola's yesterday, but we had a chance to go and see the comedy night on Tuesday, which was super exciting. And we got to see Aria perform, which was amazing. And just to be in a town in Colorado that we don't know very much about, and to see that there's such a strong, joyous queer community here has made this really so much more of a special experience than we might have had any other week in the year.
Durango's a very, very close community and very welcoming, very open, and there's a few outliers out there. There's a couple jerks, you know, but for the most part, it's just a really great community in that way. Ian, you live on a boarding school campus with your husband and four cats, one of them named after an English muffin. How do your offbeat, wonderfully domestic surroundings influence your writing?
The writings all come from questions about the world that I may have. So for DQM, I was actually telling Charlie about this the other night. It came about because I was thinking about writing a play that utilized drag queens almost as a gimmick. It was a part of a larger construct. I had sent it to some queer friends of mine who are also activists and said, I'm worried about this character, these characterizations. And I'm not sure if they are almost disrespectful or stereotypical. And they came back to me and said, you need to think about this a little more. And so it began a journey of myself of like, what do I know personally about the drag experience? How much do I not know? And getting to talk to and go see and work with and think about being a drag performer today and dealing with my own maybe misconceptions or prejudices about what drag performers, who they are, led me to explore that idea in this play. Being a part of a boarding school community definitely helps up my curiosity. It also makes me much more of an introspective person. Who am I in this environment? How am I relating myself to the kids I work with, to the adults I work with, to the cats I have to feed? That last part was a little bit of a joke. It just didn't land well. I'm sorry.
We can edit that part out.
Yeah, let's edit that out in post, guys. We're going to edit that out in post. Yeah.
Charlie, you've developed new works for 20 years from Dragula,
yeah,
which might be one of my favorite names for anything ever. That's so great. To Mommy Dearest, how does DQM fit into your creative evolution, and what's different about this collaboration with Ian?
Wow. Yeah. Well, they've all been fun. They've all been projects that I can really get behind. There's always something to relate to and pull from. What about this one? Well, I'm starring in this one, so Woo-hoo! That doesn't hurt. This one, I think, really is the closest to me. And that is right there on the surface of the play. To tag off of what Ian was saying, it's really great that this explores these relationships between artists, between queer people and their audience. And this kind of shows an audience how to be a better ally to artists as an audience, or to queer people as friends or allies or supporters. Really interesting that this play came out of the exploration of what this play ends up being about. But yeah, your question got flipped through your dissecting it. And that in itself is really meta. And
yeah,
and it's fleshed out beautifully.
Oh,
yeah. Thanks, Charlie. It really is.
Ian, are you excited about how the audience's interaction and their comments to you are going to adapt and change this play? Or are you more worried about not wanting to change it and just hoping it's all perfect right now?
Well, I'm never worried about not changing, right? I want to know what's working, what's not working, what jokes are landing, what's not landing. And you could really only get that from putting it in front of an audience. There is an interesting kind of game we play. It's a line we walk as a playwright, doing talkbacks with audience members who have had 90 minutes of experience with the work, when I've been working on this play since 2019. So it's my your ability to see it from a fresh take definitely informs what I'm able to do with my next version of it. Trust in my craft allows me to hear everything that people are saying and go through and say, all right, what's resonating with me? How much of these notes or feedback or comments am I going to apply? And how many are just things that maybe someone didn't understand something I just have to reinforce? So it's a very interesting balance. I'm excited to hear what people say, but I'm more excited to just see if they laugh, okay, and if they take something away from this story aside from it's an absurdist comedy that stars a drag queen.
Well, and that leads right in perfectly to my last question for you, is that beyond the sequins and the laughter, what are you hoping that people take with them after the show for DQM?
oh, self-reflection. Like, I really hope that people walk out and think, like, this was fun and this was funny, but what is my role in kind of perpetuating maybe myths, maybe stereotypes about other people? And how can I change the way I think about people who are living life experiences that are different than mine, and be more open and welcoming and accepting to those experiences?
Wonderful. Charlie?
Yeah, like I said before, self-reflection and having people walk out thinking about how to be a better ally, how to interact with people that are different from ourselves with more respect, more humanity, and less viewing these people as a token, a commodity. You know, we're on stage doing our thing, which is our business. You know, in as an artist, the business is often a one-man show, if you will, both on and backstage. Seeing these people on a more personal, more human level is something I hope people at least are thinking about and going home and having these discussions about.
Okay.
And we hope they had a good time.
Of course.
Yeah. We want them to laugh.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Well, Durango Playfest is here, everybody. Let us celebrate. Get it all at durangoplayfest.org. Get your tickets and info. This show is sold out Friday night, but there is still one more showing on Sunday. What was the time on that again?
3 p.m.
At 3 p.m. on Sunday. DurangoPlayFest.org is the place to go. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This was great.
Yeah. All right. I thought it was fun. We went a little long, but I was like, this is going well. We'll just keep going.
I'm excited for cookies in the lobby.
Yes, we got cookies out there. We'll get to those. Breakfast All right, we'll stick cookies. Around, everybody, and we'll wrap up the Breakfast Club here shortly on Radio Without Rules, 107.9, 92.9, The Point.